This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
This is Money in Motion, brought to you by Klaus Financial. Don't forget you can find Klaus online at klausfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Telephone number for Klaus Financial, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. If you have any questions for our retirement planning professionals from Klaus Financial, they'd love to answer them for you right now at 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Joining us this week, Malia Cuevas and CJ Klaus. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you, Sean?
Doing well.
Good to see you, Sean.
Great to see both of you. Coming up a little bit later in the program, of course, we will have our Klaus Quiz Question of the Week, your chance to win a fantastic prize this week, a $25 gift card for Cracker Barrel. We'll explain how you can win that a little bit later in the program. As I like to remind you, though, listen closely. Typically, the answer to the quiz question of the week comes up during the program, and so just pay close attention and you'll have a good shot at winning. We talk on this show a lot, Money in Motion, about making people smarter. It's a great opportunity to learn something, and sometimes of course with things we tend to forget, or maybe we go, wait, what was that again? IRA is of course a major factor. There are some things that we know, and there's also a few things that people may have forgotten, aren't there?
Yes, so it's always good for us to slow down a little bit and take a step back and be refreshed on what are some of these kind of acronyms that we hear thrown out in the financial industry. And by the way, when you get on our side of the fence, the acronyms become crazy. I mean, people just throw them out and think you should know them. But one of the most common acronyms is IRA, which stands for Individual Retirement Account. We've talked a lot about IRAs on this show, but let's just go through a couple big highlights of how they work. An individual retirement account, most of them, not all of them, but most of them are not linked to an employer. There are certain versions that are. There's a SEP IRA that's linked to an employer, or a simple IRA. But just your basic traditional IRA is not linked to an employer. So as long as you have earned income, you can make a contribution to an IRA. Those contributions are about $5,500 a year if you're under the age of 50, or $6,500 a year if you're over the age of 50, but you can contribute to that. Now, in most circumstances, people who are working at an employer that offers a corporate retirement plan, which again would be a SEP IRA, simple IRA, 401k, 403b, 457 plan.
We're trying to keep it simple.
I know, any of the above. Yeah, that's not simple, is it? Those would be a better option for contribution because the contribution limits are higher than they would be on your normal traditional IRA or Roth. But with that being said, a couple things on the IRAs for you to be aware of. You can contribute to a traditional IRA as long as you're under the age of 70 and a half and have earned income, and your earned income isn't over certain limits. But you cannot contribute to that IRA once you are over the age of 70 and a half. You can, however, contribute to a Roth IRA over the age of 70 and a half, again, as long as you have earned income. And you can contribute to an active 401k over the age of 70 and a half. So boy, oh boy, I've probably got everybody's head spinning right now, but there's a couple highlights of IRAs and 401ks.
Let's talk a little bit, we've got the traditional, and you mentioned Roth as well in there. Let's talk a little bit about the differences between those two.
Well, so many people know that a traditional IRA is money that you're putting in, which will help reduce your taxable income, just like your 401k is going in pre-tax. Mm-hmm. And as that money comes out someday from the IRA, you will in fact pay taxes on it. I know that's kind of one of these things we don't like to hear, but it's going to happen because the federal government would like your tax money at some point. But you do have the option, and this goes back about 20 years when the Roth provision came out, and that is where you can put money away that you've already paid tax on, and it will grow for you and come out tax-free. So as long as we have this available to us, we would suggest people look at this with their financial planner and see if it makes sense at the age that they happen to be, if it is worth perhaps putting a portion or all of their contributions every year into a Roth. You cannot put more. CJ just went through the limitations, the contribution limitations every year, the total amount that can go into, whether it be a Roth, traditional, or you split it up, is still at 50%. $5,500. So you do want to look and see if it makes sense. And I do want to point out one other thing. As CJ said, you cannot put money into a traditional after the age of 70 and a half. However, in a Roth, there's no age, no minimum age for you to start a Roth. My 14-year-old, when she was teaching violin on the side, we opened up a Roth for her and started putting money in there so it could start growing for her future retirement. So I think that's one thing people miss, that you could open up one when you're younger.
Well, and I'll add to that, a big thing that we hear from people is, well, I don't want to save into a Roth IRA because I think the IRS or the government is going to eventually say, I changed my mind, you can't do that. Because why would the government allow your money to grow tax-free? Well, again, I want to be clear. Traditional IRA is a pre-tax contribution growing tax-deferred. So if you follow that logic, it means you've never paid tax on the contribution or the growth. So when you pull money out in the future, you pay taxes. A Roth IRA is after-tax contributions with tax-free growth. So the contribution portion is already after-tax. Mm-hmm. The growth is tax-free. That's the component that the IRS is missing out on. Well, to be quite frank, folks, for those who believe that's going to happen, the trend in Congress is the opposite of what you are saying. As a matter of fact, they're trying to expand the Roth conversion program because if you understand Congress, they do a four-year pro forma on every decision they make. Not a 20-year pro forma, a four-year pro forma. They want to find out, how is it going to benefit me during this term?
Sure.
So if you allow for Roth conversions of, say, 100 grand a year, that brings current tax revenue to the government. So what I'd say to you is, while I get your fear, there have been no, you know, reverberations in Congress of anything to stop Roth conversions or Roth contributions at all.
CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas joining us from Kloss Financial. Don't forget you can find them online, klossfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. If you have a question for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, they'd love to answer them for you right now at 321-1310. Toll free, 877-235-1310. We'll take your calls. We'll talk a little bit more about the IRA. We'll talk about converting as well. Converting an IRA to a Roth and how that works and what that is exactly. We'll do all of that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Getting back to the basics this morning, if you have a question for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, CJ and Malia, our numbers 321-1310, toll free 877-235-1310. Don't forget you can find Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. You can also pick up the phone and give them a call. 442-5637. That's 442-5637. Also going to hold on to that telephone number. Coming up a little bit later on in this half hour, we'll have our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. And we left off talking about traditional IRAs versus Roth IRAs. And before we get into the conversion and how that all works, real quick, is one better than the other? I mean, is there one that you get that better return with?
Great question. So as a reminder to everybody, yes. Roth IRAs and traditional IRAs, a very common misconception is that it has something to do with the underlying investment vehicles or the rates of return that you can expect, and it has nothing to do with that. Roth IRA versus traditional IRA is a tax question. It is a tax strategy. The investments that you can wrap up inside of that Roth IRA umbrella or that traditional IRA umbrella are identical.
Okay.
So nothing to do with return. So to answer your question, no, one is not better than the other. It has everything to do with tax strategy.
Well, speaking of sorry about that, Malia.
I was just going to say, so CJ, can you take a traditional IRA and put it into a Roth?
Great question. So this gets into the conversion. The answer is yes. So let's just walk through this kind of mechanically, and I think this will be a good exercise for all listeners. We all know that we contribute to a pre-tax traditional IRA or pre-tax 401k because here's the notion. I bypass paying tax on those dollars today while my income is higher, so that in the future when I'm retired and all my debts are gone and my kids are out of the house and I'm paying a lower tax, then I'll pay taxes on that money. Okay, so that's the whole notion of a pre-tax contribution. It's not that you're getting away with not paying taxes, it's that you're pushing it off to a later date, saving taxes today, paying it in the future when your taxes are lower. But what happens if you're blessed and you save a lot and you do pay off your debts, but you get into retirement, you've got maybe $1 million, $2 million of pre-tax retirement monies? Well, for those who are in that boat, you probably know where I'm going with this, which is, yeah, you may not have debts, but the IRS will eventually start to require you to make minimum distributions from your pre-tax IRAs. And therefore, even though you may want to control your income and keep it low, you can't, because the IRS starts forcing you to pull out more and more and more and more. And suddenly, you're paying more in taxes in retirement than you were when you were in your 30s and 40s. And so that whole notion of what you strategize blows up in your face. So I hope people tracked with me. Well, in some cases, people will say, can I avoid that? And the answer is yes. We can strategize around converting money from your traditional IRA into a Roth IRA, so that in the future, when the IRS starts requiring you to make minimum distributions, your total burden will be lower because we have lowered the amount of pre-tax monies. Everybody's looking at me kind of cross-eyed.
How excited are they about paying the taxes when they do that conversion that
so
year?
So the number of people who actually do conversions is crazy low, really low, because ultimately people go, okay, I get it. Yep, good strategy. Makes sense, CJ. All right, let's sit down and do it. And we sit down, they're about to sign the paperwork, and they go, so just so I understand, I'm going to sign this form, and tomorrow, $50,000 will show up in a Roth IRA. And I go, yes, that's right. And what I need to do is write a $10,000 check out of my checking account to the IRS. And I go, that's right. And they go, how does this make sense, right? So even though it does make sense,
yeah,
they just go, I can't do that. I'm not forced to do it, so why would I do it? So Roth conversions make tons of mathematical and logical sense, but the pocketbook doesn't love it in the day that you do it. So.
You know, one of the things in doing the show with you guys that I think one of our first conversations, it was the importance of highlighting that letter I in the IRA and what that stands for. And I think a lot of people don't get that individual part. And that means, for example, if you've got you're a married couple and your spouse not working, it's not a we are a, it's an IRA.
I like that. We IRA.
So how does that work then? How can you help for your spouse and funding a retirement account for them?
Well, it's a great question. So that is very important, and we will see our couples up until the last person's working, mm-hmm, they can contribute up to the amount of earned income that they have, up to the limits of the contribution that are allowable, as well as if they have the non-working spouse and they are under 70 and a half, they can contribute on their behalf, okay, even though they're not working. So effectively, if I am over 50 at that point and I can put away $6,500, I could be putting away $13,000 as long as I had at least that amount of income into both buckets. So we always remind the spouses when one stops working, hey, the other one can contribute on your behalf. So it depends how big they want their allowances, I guess. You know, sometimes they question whether they want to do that or not. But great question.
Well, and I'll say to this, and Malia will testify, when it comes to individual retirement account contributions that are not employer-based, so mm-hmm, a traditional individual retirement account or a Roth IRA, income, total joint household income comes into play. If your income is over certain limits, I don't remember these off the top of my head right now, you're not even eligible to contribute to a Roth, mm-hmm, IRA. Let me repeat that. Not eligible to contribute to a Roth IRA. One of the big misnomers out there is that if your income is too high, you can't contribute to a Roth 401k, and that is a misnomer. 401ks, Roth 401ks.
We're not talking about those today.
Yeah,
just
sorry,
IRAs.
Sorry, I keep getting off off track. So bottom line is, with these IRAs, whether it be traditional or Roth, be aware of your income, because you may contribute all year long, mm-hmm, get to the end of the year, go to TurboTax, plug in your numbers, and TurboTax says you weren't eligible to put that money in.
Oh.
And now you run into a problem. It's not that you can't remove the money. You can. You can remove the money up until, October of the following year or something like that. But What about all the growth or the loss that you received during that time frame? So point being, you want to probably talk to a professional or an accountant to make sure you're eligible for those contributions.
CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas joining us from Kloss Financial. If you've got a question for our retirement planning professionals, they'd love to answer them for you right now. Our number's 321-1310, toll free 877-235-1310. Don't forget you can find Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com, or call their office to set up an appointment, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. As we're kind of doing this bit of a refresher course today, we hear about stretch IRAs and RMDs. What are we talking about there?
Well, so stretch IRAs have nothing to do with physical exercise, and they are, again, not a product. So sometimes people come in and say, I want to buy a stretch IRA. It is a concept. It is something that can be done, and to make it simple, let me just say this. It has to do with designating a beneficiary on your IRAs that when they inherit it, they have the option to stretch it over their lifetime. So they don't have to pay taxes day one. Let me refresh your memory. Taxes do have to be paid on these IRAs, as CJ pointed out. So whether it be yourself or your beneficiary, someone's going to pay the taxes. But the option to stretch it over, say a 20-year-old inherits an IRA, mm-hmm. They will look at their life expectancy, and they will be allowed to stretch it over their lifetime. And obviously, the tax rate's a lot lower as they're, you know, younger. So you can't jump another generation after that. You can stretch it one generation. But it's just an important concept that a lot of people kind of miss. And trust me, a lot of 16, 20-year-olds that inherit money are going to want to spend it.
Yeah.
But our encouragement is having them sit down with someone who can show them the way.
What about simply saying, oh, I'll just roll it into mine? Can you do that?
Good question.
A spouse can.
Oh.
Great question.
Yes.
A spouse can, but a non-spouse beneficiary cannot. So yeah, as Malia was talking about here, stretch IRAs are an important thing. If you, if somebody dies and leaves you IRA money, my strong encouragement, and this is not trying to drive people to us, it's just in general, my strong encouragement is talk to a professional, because there's three or four different options that you have mm-hmm. available to you at that time, and making the wrong decision could be, you know, thousands of dollars in
expensive
taxes.
Malia Cuevas, CJ Kloss, joining us from Kloss Financial. We're going to talk about RMDs next and take more of your calls. Our numbers, 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Don't forget, you can find Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. You can also, of course, call the office, 442-5637. It's 442-5637. Also, hold on to that telephone number. Coming up in the next segment, we will have our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here, 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
You could have just seen what was going on behind the scenes. Paperwork flying everywhere. This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Of course, joined by Malia Cuevas and CJ Kloss of Kloss Financial. Don't forget their website, klossfinancial.com, the telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. Let's talk about RMDs. First off, what are they and what do we need to know?
Yes, so we talk about this a lot on the show, required minimum distributions. And if you are the owner of an IRA and you contribute to it, or you roll over from an old employer-based plan and it's in an IRA, and it's a pre-tax traditional IRA, then you are required to start making minimum distributions at the age of 70 and a half. Most people know that. We've talked about it. That requirement does not apply to Roth IRAs, which are post-tax, growing tax-free. So those you can leave alone and not pull money out of, and maybe never pull money out of, and just pass it on to the next generation.
And the reason you want to pull those required minimum distributions is because if you don't, there is a penalty of 50%.
Ooh.
And again, that doesn't feel good if you're paying a penalty on your own money. Never a good feeling. So that's why as you're approaching those ages or your parents are, you want to make sure that you're sitting down with someone and not missing those distributions.
Well, and so it's important for people to remember, you may have three IRAs.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, let me even complicate it further. You may have two IRAs and an old employer-based 401k still sitting at, I don't know, Wells Fargo, let's say. If that Wells Fargo 401k is not active, then that has a required distribution as well. And the way the IRS looks at that is they say all of your inactive pre-tax retirement accounts, they're going to look at your December 31st value for every year after age 70 and a half. And then they're going to apply a divisor to that, which becomes your required distribution. They don't care if you pull all that RMD from one of the three pre-tax accounts or equally across all of them. They really don't care. They just want to know that the total amount of the RMD comes out in that year. So it's very common for people to say, hey, I have three, four, or five different IRAs and I have to go to every institution and, you know, pull out a little bit of money. And the comment is, no, you don't. You can pull it all out from one as long as it meets the total RMD.
You just have to keep track of all those various accounts, and that goes back to our ideas of consolidating and simplifying your life.
I really appreciate what Malia is pointing out here. We talk about consolidation, simplification, and diversification. And one of the big reasons is because of required distributions. When you have multiple accounts floating around out there, it makes RMDs very difficult. Let me add in one other thing just real quickly. I mentioned Roth IRAs don't have RMDs unless they're an inherited stretch Roth IRA. So your beneficiaries, when they inherit that Roth IRA money from you, if they stretch it out, as Malia talked about, and retitle it into what's called a beneficiary IRA, they will have required minimum distributions on that inherited Roth IRA.
CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas join us from Kloss Financial. You can find them online, klossfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com is the website. The telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. If you want to hold on to that telephone number, it's now time for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. Works like this. I'm going to ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You'll then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you will win a $25 gift card for Cracker Barrel. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. When are you required to take your first required minimum distribution from your IRA and other pre-tax retirement accounts? Telephone number 442-5637. That's 442-5637. This is Money in Motion on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.